Ezra Perek Yud. So we've seen how Ezra's attempt to be ma'or the problem of the marriage to the women who were not Jewish or were improperly mitgayrot was not to discuss it directly, but to make this tremendous vidui and fast in public, and hoping that as a result the impact would be enough to move people to respond, which would be much more effective than if he had attempted to deal with it directly. And indeed, in today's parak, that's exactly what happens. Uchitpalel Ezra, uchihidvaduto, boche, umitnapel lifnei beit Elohim. And as Ezra went on in this fashion, davening, saying vidui, crying, falling on his face in front of the Beis HaMikdash, nikbitzu elav miYisrael kahal rav ma'od, anashim v'nashim v'yiladim, yivachu ha'am harbe becha. They're gathered around him from all around the people, very many men, women, children. Malbim suggests that the women that were here, I mean, the main point that he had spoken about wasn't about women that had married non-Jewish men. It was about men that had married non-Jewish women. The truth is that the Mefarshim say that there were many women who had married non-Jewish men, but they were out of the areas that were under his jurisdiction because they'd gone to live in the non-Jewish areas. So that wouldn't be these people anyways. We'll see later on. But the Malbim suggests very interesting that the same Malachi that we find is so very strong. It speaks about Baal Bat El Nechar, which is the whole Makor that we have that the Gemara brings about the way in which he's Choshev as if he's actually relating to the Avodah Zorah itself. That same Malachi goes on in the famous description of Vezot Shnayim Ta'asu Ksot Yimat Mizbech Hashem, where around the Mizbech Hashem you've covered it with tears, and that's a reference to those who were Megarish, their wives. And it goes through this whole thing that this is Eshet Nu'urecha, and how could you turn your back on her, and so on. So the Malbim says that could be a reference to this, covering tears, the Mizbech Hashem. I mean, the Gemara Darshan's from there, that kol ha-megaresh et ishta rishona, so afilo ha-mizbeach morid alav d'maot. But here, literally, there were people that were crying, and he suggests that maybe these were women who had been displaced by these non-Jewish wives. And that's what the Bechia was. So that this was a family issue, that even children were affected by. That's why it has Nashim v'yiladim that were also surrounding him. And he waited for somebody to respond. And indeed, Vayan Shechanya ben Yechiel, Yibnei Elam. Now, this was the same Shechanya that shows up as being very central in all of it. He was obviously one of the great Gedolim. We've seen him, and we'll see more of him. And he, the language of Vayan, could very well mean then lifted up his voice very loud, not just answered. And he says to Ezra, in a way that everybody hears, it is true, Anachdu ma'alnu ve'lohenu, Vanoshev Nashim Nochriot Me'ame Haaretz. We have indeed acted treacherously against our God, and we have settled in these non-Jewish women from the communities that were brought here by Sancheriv and by the other Melachim. V'ata yesh mikvah Yisrael azot. But at this point, we finally have hope for Yisrael about this issue. Note the stress on Yisrael, which is very important, because all along, that's what Ezra has been talking about. He's not been talking about the problem of the specific Avera that's involved, which, as we saw, was maybe only Derabbanan in many of these cases. Machlokas about whether there's an Isser to marry a non-Jewish woman who isn't from the Shiva Aminim. But the problem over here was the breakdown of Zerah Kodesh, the whole idea that Pinchas had so violently reacted against, which was the uniqueness of Yisrael. And therefore, when he talks about Yesh Mikveh Yisrael, there is hope, but ata, it's only now. And why is that? Because up until this point, this was not an issue that could have been dealt with by any force that could represent Yisrael. Because everything was essentially chaotic. There was no one that was really in charge, that was empowered by the government to be in charge and to act with the power of the law behind him. There was leadership, but it wasn't the leadership that was capable of changing this situation. We saw that's exactly why Ezra had come up, and that's exactly what Ezra was committed to, was the restoration not only of the binyan of the Beit HaMikdash in a physical sense, but the kedusha of the Beit HaMikdash. And as he expressed himself to the Kohanim, you are Kodesh, and this money is Kodesh, and it's one that actually Rabbah points out, that's one of the to'eliot that we have by learning this parak, is to see, because this is applied in the Gemara, that it's ro'ui for Kodesh to be next to Kodesh. His idea of the Kedushat HaMikdash is the Kedushat Yisrael. Israel. And therefore, Shechaniah, who is one of the leaders and understands this, so what he says is that now we have, for the first time, hope for Yisrael, because at this point, there is someone that has been empowered by the government. There is a sense of leadership, and that's you. And we have to do something about it as Yisrael. There's no way that this is going to work by the simple force of law, and it's not going to work as you're talking to people and asking them and explaining to them. It has to be done as a group. And my suggestion is that V'ata, this point, Nichrod Brit Leloheinu, we have to actually come together as a nation to make a new Brit, Lotzi Kol Nashim V'Hanolad Mehem, to get rid of all of these women and those non-Jewish children who have been born from them, Ba'atzat Adonai and V'Acharedim B'Mitzvat Eloheinu, with coming with the Siyata Rishmaya and with the involvement of those who care and are Mizdares for Hashem's mitzvah, V'Chatorah Ye'aseh, and it is time for us to establish what needs to be done according to the Torah. Now, this is a fascinating thing because this is the Makor, the beautiful story in the Yerushalmi, actually, right? So this is the man that's giving the reaction that he was waiting for and that enables this to be something that comes out of the tzibur, that wasn't imposed from above. And that is central to the whole idea, because for him to come as a leader, there really wasn't much that he could do, because he was limited to the das of the Torah. This is how the Malbim understands the whole sugya. I'm going to add to it a bit. But as far as the din is concerned, there was very little that he could do. You can't punish. No, Ezra. And not only that, but if Ezra himself had come in order to establish something, even from the keach of the tzibur, it would have been, and we saw this throughout Sefer Malachim, it would have been an act of memshala and not an act of malchut. Now the Malbim's chiddush is that this halacha that we're about to see, from which the Gemara learns the whole din of hefker bezdin hefker, and it's remarkable how central this is. We darshan on it as to how much a tzibur can be gozer, is a function of malchus. In other words, the Malbim says, look, we find that Shmuel set over that whole Sefer HaMelech with all the things that the Melech can do if he wants, which are extrajudicial. They don't have anything to do with the power of Bezdin. They're the power of the Melech. And that's a completely different system of law. It's not anything that he wants, but there are many extrajudicial things that he can do. And therefore, since the Koch of the Melech, suggests the Malbim, is that which emerges from the Kahal, so he becomes now the element that integrates, that represents what the Kahal is, the Kahal can do that, even if there's no Melech. So even though Ezra didn't have a din of a Melech, but once everyone gets together to make a Brit, then they can basically do anything. I mean, this is what happened to Yovesh Begilad. I mean, this is the people got together and said, this is intolerable, and it's a violation of our commitment as Klal Yisrael, and we're going to wipe them out. I mean, it's obviously about as extra-traditional as you can imagine. But nonetheless, this is the keach of the sense of what it means to be Klal Yisrael. And that's why he specifically says that it's Yesh B'Kval Yisrael, and why it has to come from Shechaniah specifically. So that the Aniyah is a responsiveness, and this is a deeper insight into what Ezra was trying to do. It's not just that they're not going to listen to me, and I'm looking for a way in which I can influence them. It's that I want there to be a whole emergent feeling, a swell of reaction that can achieve something I'll never be able to achieve, even with the koach that was vested in me by Artaxerxes. Now, there's a mice in the Yerushalmi that utilizes this pasuk, V'chatorah Ye'aseh. So, it was a mice like this. This guy comes into Tzur, to the Bezdin, and he's a man. I think that he's identified differently in the Bavli, but I believe it's the same person. So this is Yaakov Ishkvar Gvuraya. That's that place near Gibor Chayil. It has different names. Nadvordia, you know, where there's the ruins of the Beit HaKnesset. No? On the dirt road where you turn off and you go through behind, you get to Amuka on the dirt roads through behind. There's this incredible piece that's left from an Aron Kodesh that identifies itself as having been built, and now it's 400 and some years since the Churban. You know? All right, so that's that town. And he comes to Tzur, and he comes with amazing shaila, the chutzpah. He comes with this amazing shaila of whether the son that he just had from his goyish a wife, can he have the bris on Shabbos? So he hears about this. Rabbi Chagai, who's the Av Bezdin over there, so he says, bring this guy into court and let's beat him. We'll give him malchus. So So they bring him in. He says, by what rights are you going to give me malchus? Like, what exactly is wrong? He's Omar Levin, Haradichsi, Ve'ata, Nichrod, Brit, Lenohenu. This Brit is still binding, he says, from this pasuk in Ezra. So this guy's a smart aleck. He says, oh, mina kabbalah ta malkeni. This is a pasuk in the Torah. I mean, are you going to give somebody malchus from a Brit in Ezra? So Reb Chagai says to him, read on, v'chatorah yeaseh. So v'chatorah yeaseh means the makor of this is actually to be found in the Torah. So it's deraita. So this guy says to him, minhada oraya, show me where it says anything like this in the Torah. Omar Lay, so he brings in the whole story of Lotit Chateinba, and then it says, Ki Yasirat Bincha Me'acharai, which from where we learned that Bincha Israel Karui Bincha, only where it's the male is the goy, but Ein Bincha Migoya Kruya Bincha at all Ela Bina. So therefore, this whole thing is ridiculous. This isn't your son, and you were chayav from Lotit Chateinbam, which of course was the question. Is that really true? That's the machlokes. It's only Shiva Amim. But in any event, you see that this Brit, we're talking about hundreds of years later. This Brit was way after the Korban, right? And this Brit was already 700 years old. This Maisa took place 1,000 years old. And nonetheless, we're bringing riots from this Brit and from the relationship to V'chatorah Yaseh. So let us, therefore, if this is true, that this, as the Gemara points out, then the V'chatorah Yaseh means that it is even a reference back to the shlichut that he had for the Melech, that you should do with the Koyach HaTorah that's in you. The getting rid of the children that come from these non-Jewish women, that is definitely Chatorah. And I say, says Shechaniah to Ezra, that this is your responsibility. Kum, you get up and you act on this, because it's on you. Ki alecha hadavar, this whole thing is up to you, and anachto imach, we are behind you. Chazak v'asei. Does this remind you of something, this language? It's very Yoshua. The same words, kum avor, chazak, v'nit chazek. And anybody who doesn't listen to you, we're going to wipe them out. That whole first beginning. We'll see that there's many references to that. We've already seen some earlier. Because again, this is the Knisa La'aretz. We saw that we were medayik from the closing words of Yeshua when he was Mekayim Yerushas Ha'aretz, so that he warned them that if you take non-Jewish women, then you're not going to be able to maintain your Zchus Eretz Yisrael. The very things that Ezra had spoken about before, that this is an Eretz Nida, it's been terribly damaged by the way that people have acted in it. So there's very much of a reconstruction. We say, Adi Avaram Ha Hashem, Adi Avaram Zukanita, is actually referring as a hekesh of the two biot in Eretz Yisrael. Adi Avaram Ha Hashem is the biot Rishena, Adi Avaram Zukanita is the biot Bimei Ezra. And indeed it was supposed to be lechatchila if we'd been Zocha, as we saw back in Daniel the Ramazan. If we would have been Zocha, then it would have been with the same level of enthusiasm, nisim, presence of the Shechina, and so on, which we were in Zocha to. But the hekesh still exists, and because of that, there's a lot of elements that have to do exactly with what Yoshua did. So indeed, Vayokom Ezra, and so Ezra gets up and takes charge. Vayashba et Sarei HaKohanim, Halavim, V'chol Yisrael, La'asot Kadavar Hazeh. And so these things that Shechaniah said, he actually gets up and he says, look, I want you to be mekabel on yourselves with the Shvua, which is the beginning of the Brit, to do what it is that needs to be done. And that is to let us utilize this tikva. And of course, the other lashon of tikva, and some literally explain it as meaning, as being the intention of Shechaniah, is yesh mikva, is vidui and tshuva. Because we compare that to yerida lamikva. And that's someone who is mizvada, but there isn't ozev v'chet, so he's ketev of sheretz biyodei. So therefore, this means let us see to it that everybody really does go to the mikva, gets rid of the chet that's biyodei, and actually sees to it that they're mekayim what it is that we accepted over here. And so he actually has them swear v'yishaveyo. They swear to it. V'yokom Ezra melifnei beit Elohim, v'yelech elishkat Yochanan ben Eliashiv, and he goes now from in front of the Beis HaMikdash, into the Lishka of the Kohanim, but he doesn't eat there. And Lechem lo achal, Mayim lo shata, even though the Ta'anit was over, but he was so upset. Ki mitabel al ma'al ha'golah, that this wasn't an act that he was doing here when he was in public. That's why we need to know that even when he afterwards, the Ta'anit was over, he was so shattered by the shock of what he had heard. And remember, this was like 4 months after he came. And as I mentioned earlier, we're going to see that there is time timing, that the time is critical in all of this. And so indeed, Vayaviru Kobi Yudav Yerushalayim L'chol B'nei Hagila L'Kavetz Yerushalayim. As a result of this, they issued sent obviously shluchim all over Yehuda and Yerushalayim to everyone is to be present in the next 3 days. V'chol asher lo yavo l'shloshet hayamim katzat asarim v'azakenim. Anybody who doesn't show up, yechoram kol rechusho, will have all of his property taken away. This is where we learn out the din of Hefker Beit Din Hefker. So we see that they had the kayach to be machrim everything. And here we learn the dinim of Nidui and Shloshet Yamim. There's actually Maisim in the Gemara, in which if somebody doesn't respond to three subpoenas in 3 days, so then this applies to him. This din of Nidui Yibadel Mikal HaGola. And indeed, Vayikavtsu Kol Anshe Yehuda V'Nyamin Yerushalayim L'Shloshet Yamim, which was the Chodesh HaTishi'i B'Esrim HaChodesh. There we are in Kislev. Vayeshvu Kol Ha'am B'Rechov Beit Elohim. Here is where we see that it was 4 months later that this took place. In other words, even though he responded instantly, tore his clothes, did this whole thing, it was 4 months before they let him know about this. And here he calls everybody together. It's freezing cold. It's raining. They're all standing in front of the Rechava that's in the Har HaBayit, which is called the Rechov Beit Elohim. Everybody is shaking, mar'idim, first of all, because the whole thing was just so emotional, al ha-davar, not to mention the freezing cold rain. I mean, that did have something to do with it. Umei ha-gishamim. And it's very, very cute what happens now because of this. Because as we say, if timing is so important, this is exactly the reaction of people. I mean, is this really the place to deal with this out in the rain, in the cold? It's nice to bring it up, but maybe we should go about this in a different way. And this is what happens now. So, Vayakom Ezra Kohen, Vayomer Alehem, Atem Ma'altem, you have acted treacherously, Vatoshivu Nashim Nochriot, Lo Sif Al Hashmat Yisrael. Again and again and again, he beats in that message that it's the burden of guilt that Yisrael carries by continuing to do these actions which had been done before, that we've suffered with so much before. And the Rabbah goes all the way back to Shlomo HaMelech and Bat Paro. V'yata, note the words exactly as we find by Achan. V'yata tnu toda l'Adonai Elohei Avotechem v'yasur etzono. It's exactly the words that Achan was told. Do his will, v'ibadlu me'amei ha'aretz u'min hanashim ha'ochriyot, and separate yourselves from, now here we're medayik, what's the difference between the nashim ha'ochriyot and the amei ha'aretz? So in other words, there were indeed women that were married to the men of amei ha'aretz, separately from the problem of the nashim ha'ochriyot. Now, probably the most striking connection to these words of Achan, that were said to Achan, is a beautiful Gemara, which has a story in which there was a maisa. Rabbi Gamliel had invited only certain people. Only 7 people are meant to be present in the judging whether it's the time to be ma'aber chodesh, and they have to be special people. And he invites these 7 people, comes up into the aliyah where they were supposed to be dealing with all of the astronomical, political, economic issues that are involved in the Kiddush HaChodesh, and he finds 8 people. So Rabbi Gamliel was quite upset, and he was known to be something of a stickler, if you'll remember. So he says, Mihu she'alah shelo b'reshut, yered, kind of chutzpah, who came up here without permission, go down. So Shmuel HaKatan, tremendous tzaddik in Talmud Chacham. So he says, Aniyu she'aliti shelo b'reshut. I didn't come to be a member. I didn't feel I was a member. I mean, Lola Bera Shana Aliti, I only came up with Moda Lecha L'maaseh. I came up so that I could learn about how this is done. So he says, oh, it's okay, it's you. Shave. You know what? Ru'uyot kol ha'shanim kulam l'itai bera yadcha. You're such a good guy. You're okay. But, I mean, what can you do? You know, that Amru Chachamim, Ein Ma'abrim Et HaShana, Ala B'mezumanim La'aneh. If I didn't invite you, and I wanted to make sure that, no, but now, says the Gemara, it wasn't him at all. It was not Shmuel HaKatan. V'lo Shmuel HaKatan, it was somebody else. But Shmuel HaKatan did this in order to avoid having the finger pointed and that guy. And there was the same thing that happened with Rebbe. Rebbe was sitting and giving a drasha, and somebody was smoking. Well, actually wasn't smoking, but somebody was chewing on some garlic. So he says, whoever is eating garlic, get up and get out of here. So Rabbi Chia stands up and walks out. So the entire tzibur gets up and walks out. So Rabbi Shimon, who was Rabbi's son, the next morning finds Rabbi Chia. What a chutzpah. You made such tzar to my father yesterday. How did you do such a thing? Where'd Rabbi Chia get it from? Well, Rabbi Chia got it that this is the correct anaga from Rabbi Meir. Okay, what happened with Rabbi Meir? What happened is that this woman comes into the Beit HaMidrash and says to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi, I got a real problem. One of your guys over here slept with me and claimed that that was going to be my Kiddushin. You know, it's Mekadosh me with Bia. You know, I mean, you got to find out who it is. So Rabbi Meir says, it's me. I'm writing you a get krisis right now. He writes her out a get. Everybody gets up and writes her out a get. Okay, now problems are over, he says to her. So where did Rabbi Meir get this from? He got it from the Maase of Shmuel HaKatan, says the Gemara. But where did Shmuel HaKatan get it from? From Shechaniah ben Yechiel, right here in this story. Because Shechaniah ben Yechiel gets up and he says, Oy, anachnu ma'alnu. Well, wait, you really believe Shechaniah had taken a woman? I mean, we're going to see. There's a list of all of the people that had done so. Obviously, he was a leader. He didn't do this. Vanoshev nashim nochriot v'ata yesh mikvel Yisrael alzot. But how did Shechaniah ben Yechiel know? Asks the Gemara. V'Shechaniah ben Yechiel me'echa lamad? Says the Gemara from Yoshua with the Maase of Ochan. So over there, Vayomer Yoshua kumla. That's exactly the story that it says over here. Lama zata nofel apanecha chata Yisrael amar lefanav ribono shelol mi chata. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am I a squealer? What, are you crazy? I'm not going to tell you who was chotei. Which is exactly the story is over here. And that was exactly the language that we found over here. Ten now this hodah, meaning bisvada, in front of Elokei Yisrael. So the whole thing really harkens back in very deep ways to Yoshua's Hanor. Vayanu kol hakahal veyomru kol gadol ken kidvorcha aleinu la'asot. Yes, indeed, you're absolutely right. We should do this, but may we point out that it's raining? It's such a wonderful story. Aval, we certainly agree that in theory this is what needs to be done. However, look, there's a lot of people here and no place to house them. And ha'et gishamim, and frankly, ain't koach lamod b'chutzah. We're freezing. We can't stand out here like this. And I don't know, like, what do you expect? Everything's going to be handled right now by proclamation? This is not one day's work or 2 days' work. We're supposed to sit out here in the rain for the next 3 months. You know, there's a lot of people that have been involved in this. And it's not so simple. Because every case has to be judged on its merits as to whether there was a kosher geirus there. This is like complicated things. So why are we sitting out here? Now, we'll tell you what we're going to do. Yamduna sareno l'chola kahal. What we would like to do is have our representatives, those sarim, that will stand here and take responsibility for everybody. And v'chol asher ba'areinu ha'oshiv nashim nochriot, anyone in all of the cities around, we're all going to go back home. Anybody that is subpoenaed to give an accounting now of his family situation, who the Besdin heard had taken nashim nochriot, yavoli timiz zumanim, they will come at specific times, together with the Mayim Ziknei Irva Irva Shoftea, together with the local Besdin that knows exactly what's going on and can let us know that things have been taken care of. And this will go on as long as it takes. Ad lashiv charon af Eloheinu mimenu. Until the point in which you are satisfied that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger has now been removed because we were mitakein, ad ladavar hazeh, until the very end. In other words, not only justice. Once we're going to be mitakein, we want to be mitakein, all of the things. So all the way up till here, ad ladavar hazeh. In other words, from A to Z. And this should be included. That this is a true brit that we're doing. We're not trying to get out of here by going home. We want to take responsibility on a city-by-city basis in which everything will be mitukan. But it has to be done in an organized fashion, not in an overly passionate and responsive fashion that's never going to achieve anything. And this way, the brit will be mekuyam. And in the end, Ach Yonatan ben Asael ve'yachazia ben Tikva, which is an amazing coincidence, amdu alzot. And the Medrash understands this to mean that out of all of the Sarim that were there was only Yonatan and Yechaziah who were, why are they listed? Because they were the only ones that were Meiser Nefesh to commit themselves to whatever is necessary. Leave their home, stay here as long as it takes. Others learn, including the Malba, but it's not like the Medrash, that it means just the opposite. Amdu al-Zed, they were connected this. There was everyone else that agreed, and the only ones that had stood up and argued about it or ridiculed it were these two people. In light of the Medrash, I think it's probably giving them not a fair shake. U'mishulam v'shaptai halevi azarum. And they were helped along by Meshulam and Shabtai out of the Levium. Again, according to the Malbim, the Loshon of Azarum to do bad, it's a little problematic. And indeed, this is what happened. Vayasu chen b'nei ha'golah, and so, just as they had committed themselves to do, They did. Vayibadlu Ezra Kohen Hashim Rashei Avot LeBeit Avotam V'Cholam B'Shemot. And so Ezra set aside, they said it's the Sarim. He set aside the people who would be those Sarim, who would be the Rashei Avot, each one for the Beit Av that he was responsible for, everyone mentioned by name. Vayeshvu, and they came together, B'Yom Echad L'Chodesh Asiri L'Daryosh HaDavar. This lotion of the Daryosh clearly means Lidrosh, but it's the only time that such a word is used, and it's a curious word that reminds you, of course, of Daryavesh, which was the source of the power to do that. But it's a clearly makes things far more of a binyan kaved to get really into it. Is l'daryosh adavar vayechalu vakol anashim oshivu nashim nochriyot. Now this is very grammatically, this is very strange. If it's Bakol ha'anashim. So first of all, it's missing the hay. But more importantly, there's no reason for there to be a cholam in the bakol. You only use a cholam when it's the conclusion. Bakol, with everything. Otherwise, it would be bakol ha'anashim, with the komats. And so there's a number of different approaches to this. There's the Rambam's approach is v'yechalu v'kol. They completed everything. And all the way to the point of these anashim ha'oshivu nashim nachriyot. Whatever needed to be done. I guess. I mean, no matter how you learn, it has to be a step. The question is, the Ibn Ezra's approach is that the base of Bakol is an applies as does happen, not very often, but does happen that the base is to be applied to the word and the next word. So vayachulu then means vayachalu vakol ba anashim ha'oshivu anashim nochriyot. So there too, he agrees with the stop, but says to have the anashim not just subsidiary to the bakol, but a different issue. Ad yom echad lechodesh harishon, until this took all the way till Nisan. That's how long it took, so that they were absolutely right. To have been sitting out there until Nisan would have been quite a job. And so, just as we've listed everyone who came from the various mishpachot, so too do we list everyone who had taken Nashim Nochriot and who had given them up. So, Mibnei Yeshua ben Yotzadak Vechav. This is what's interesting. So there's a number of approaches, as we'll see. There's only about 140 people, B'sach HaKol, that we're going to name here. But we'll see. Some learn that the limited names doesn't make sense in the context of what had been said before, that there's so much to be done, that people are saying this is a massive issue. But others say, well, that means because everybody was responsible. It doesn't mean that there were a lot of people, but because the idea of Arvus, now that we have a Yisrael identity, so Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh comes out. But others say that, look, I mean, but that doesn't explain why they would have said it takes a lot of time. And the truth is, as we're going to see in Nehemiah, the whole thing comes up again shortly afterward, which means that Ezra wasn't successful in uprooting the phenomenon because Nehemiah has a whole other gathering about this. So that it must be that this was the maximum that he could do. Okay, others learn that this is what represents the people who came and were active on their own and served as a model for everybody, and therefore they're mentioned as the mitaknim. And so there were Bibnei Yoshua ben Yotzadak, Ve'achav, Maaseo, Ve'eliezer, Ve'yoriv, Ugdalya. These are names that we remembered from before. Vayitnu yadam lo'otzi nesheyem. And they committed themselves. So again, that leads to that pshat. That these were the people who committed themselves. And not only that, Va'ashenim el tzon al ashmatam. They even committed themselves to the point where, now the way the Medrash puts it, is that we find these people mentioned on the same darg of Ezra HaKohen and the Anashim. Which Anashim? The Anashim that are listed afterward. B'Shemot? Why are they zochet to that? To be listed together with Ezra? Because they were the ones who had dedicated themselves. And this is how the Medrash understands it, that when it says, Ashmatam, so what they did over here was that they were makri krivu korban asham al kol biyahu biyah. Now, why in the world were they responsible for such a thing? So there's a question. Since when is there a carbon asham on such a thing? Therefore, the Gemara says, remarkably, that what had really happened over here is that they didn't take nashim nochriot. They had taken from the women that were shvachot in their homes. And the chiyuv of an asham is on a shivcha charufa who had been engaged to what? This is a machlokas in the Gemara. To an Eved Ivri, or according to the other manual, to an Eved Kanan. Now Rashi says here that the reason that they brought these korbanot asham was Hora Asha'a. The Gemara says beferish that these were Asham Shivcha Charufa. How does Rashi completely ignore that? So the Malbim Tainas that for an Asham Shivcha Charufa, you would only, since we pask like the man the Omar, who says that she needs to be engaged to an Eved Ivri, you would only be able to have that when there is the Yovel. Because without Yovel, there's no din of Eved Ivri. And therefore, the Rashi says, since we don't pask it like that, so I can't say that it's because of Asham Shivcha Charufa. Therefore, it must be that this was a Ra'at Shah to treat it as if it were Shivcha Charufa. But you will remember, we've talked about this before, that the sheet of the Tosfos is that the Yovel indeed was Noeg because they had the Aseres HaShvatim represented here as well, even though the main issue is Yehuda B'Yomin, as we just mentioned, and therefore it could have been literally Shivcha Charufa. Okay, number of different approaches. Again, according to the Gemara, these were true Korbanot Asham. And that's why it says, again, it's a very interesting, very beautiful pshat according to the Malbim. If it says over here that it is a Korban Asham literally, then the language over here is Va'ashemim El Tzon Al Ashmatam. What does that mean, Va'ashemim? So he says like this, is fascinating, it's beautiful. I mean, this is the Malbim speaking in a very halachic mode. It's almost a brisker pshat. So he says like this, the din is normally that you could be Mechayev, an individual, for intercourse, even though obviously you can't really claim to have seen the intercourse. How can we mechayev them to bring an asham or to bring whatever it is, in whatever case, whatever chiyuv there is? So the Gemara, generally the Gemara says, seeing people acting as if they're having intercourse is an assumption of intercourse. So that's sufficient to claim that they're sleeping with each other. Problem is, says the Malbim, this beautiful diak, that normally the chiyuv of any type of iser that involves intercourse is only haro. So there doesn't need to be complete penetration, it doesn't need to be ejaculation. There only needs to be enough that we see people are on top of each other and appear to be having intercourse. I don't know. Can I testify to the fact that there was penetration? No, but I don't need to. But when it comes to Shivcha Charufa, there's a unique halacha, which we dash from the pasuk, that you're only chayev on Gemar Bien. Therefore, they had to be Ashemim. They had to say it themselves in order to be chayev a Korban Asham. So he understands that this is the double language. Va'ashemim, they made themselves guilty of needing to bring the Korban Asham. Very, very, very sweet. Anyway, these were the leaders who did that. And as the Medrash says, this gives them that special, they provided a model of commitment and desire to become clean. Ubibnei Imer, Hanani, Uzvadia, Ubibnei Chorim, Maaseya, Eliyah, Ushumaya, Yechiel, Uziyah. These, of course, are all the families of the Kohanim that we mentioned earlier. Ubibnei Pashchur, El Yoinai, Maaseya, Yishmael, Netanel, Yozavad, Ve'elasa. Those are the Kohanim. And as just as we've done in every single count that we've had here at Ezra, we separate the Kohanim, the Levim, the Israelim. In other cases, even we go beyond that into the Netinim. Umina Leviim, Yozavad, Ve'shimi, Ve'kelaya. Kelaya was also called Kelita, also known as, that's who, Kelita. And Ptachya, Yehuda, and Eliezer. And as we've always done, is to separate the Levium in general and the specific members of the orchestra. So that's Min HaMishorim, was only Eliashiv, and Min HaShoarim, was Shalom, V'Telem, V'Uri. Now moving on to Yisrael. Bibnei Parosh, Ramya, V'Yiziyah, Malkiyah, Yamin, V'Elazar, Malkiyah, V'Nayah. Ubnei Elam, Matanya, Zechariah, Ve'echiel, Va'avdi, V'Remot, Ve'Eliyah. Again, all these names we went through and, as much as possible, explained the nature of the names at the beginning of the Sefer. Ubnei Zatu, Yo'inai. You'll notice, of course, that a lot of the names are repetitive. There were apparently not that many names going around. Eliashiv, Matanya, Ve'Remot, Ve'Zavad, Ve'Aziza. Ubnei Bevoi, Yeholchanan, Hananya, Zabai, and Atle. Bibnei Bani, Mishulam, Malo, Chadaya, Yoshuv, Sha'al, Veramot. Bibnei Pachat Moav, Adna, Uchlal, Binaya, Maaseya, Matanya, Betzalel, Uvinui, Umenashe. Uvnei Chorim, Eliezer, Yishia, Malkia, Shemaya, Shimon, Binyamin, Maluch, Shemaria. Bibnei Chashum, Matnai, Matata, Zavad, Elifelet, Yeremai, Menashe, Shimi. Bibnei Bani, Maadai, Amram, Vuel. Binaya, Vedya, Kuluhu. Vanya, Meremot, Eliashiv. Matanya, Matnai, Vie Asai. Uvoni, Uvinui, Shimi. Vishalemia, Venatan, Vadaya, Machnadvai, Shashai, Shorai, Azrael, Veshalemyahu, Shemariah, Shalom, Amariah, Yosef, Bibnei Nevo, Yiel, Matitya, Zavad, Zevina, Yadai, Vyoel, Benaya. Kol Ela Nasu Nashim Nochriot, Vyesh Mehem Nashim Vyasimubanim. All of these had married non-Jewish women, and some of them were Nashim. It's a brilliant Eben Ezra who says, what do you mean, Vayasimu Vanim? They put out children. You ever heard that line? What do you mean they put out children? Vayolidu Vanim, says the Eben Ezra, because these children were clones. Since they didn't have any fathers, because the children were not mityaches after the parent, because of the fact that they were, we don't want to say Vayolidu, they didn't have children. Because that's what normally it would mean. So Vayasimu, they eject the children. Remarkable. It's a fault, that's a purpose. Beautiful Eben Ezra, yeah. But the Malbim learns Vayasimu Vanim means that they presented these sons to the Beis Din to see whether they could be acceptable for Gerut. So because they wanted to be Megayer, then how the Shaila is, were they suitable for Giyur, what was the situation, and how did the whole thing come about? So again, as we saw earlier, there was an inyan of a case-by-case need for being done on each one of them, which is why the people said it's going to take forever. And therefore, he understands that that's exactly the meaning of the Vayasimu Vanim, which closes what the Goyim have identified as Sefer Ezra. You can see by the extremely prosaic closing that it sure is not the closing of a book. So it's the closing of the 10th Goyish chapter of the book of Ezra as opposed to Nehemiah, which to us doesn't have any significance at all. However, I think that because of the timing, in other words, what we're trying to do is stick to the histories, before we turn to Nehemiah, so to speak, which is the continuation, we should talk about what's going on back at the ranch. And if we talk about what's going on back at the ranch, it is time to look into Esther. Huh? And since the timing for Esther is quite good, you know, maybe that's what we should start doing tomorrow.
That was acrobatic.